This is how flying should be. That's what a Breeze guest recently said about Breeze Airways. Breeze flies nonstop to Sarasota, Bradenton, and more straight from Long Island MacArthur Airport. Breeze not only makes travel easy and affordable, but they offer flexible and friendly change policies, have high-speed Wi-Fi, and a premium first-class seat called Breeze Ascent. It's time you choose to fly Breeze. What are you waiting for? Book your flight today at flybreeze.com. Breeze Airways, seriously nice, in partnership with Visit Bradenton.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, when you hear 1 below 0, it gets your attention. It is awfully cold outside. Keep you posted on the snow, too, headed our way mainly this afternoon, tonight, into the morning hours tomorrow. And in an hour, we'll have Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey in studio. We have a lot to talk with the mayor about. One of the issues he's dealing with is the shrinking commercial real estate in the city in terms of occupancy and, you know, the tax rolls. And there are a lot of important questions about commercial real estate. So we've reached out to the CEO of NAOP, the National Association for Industrial and Office Parks. And the CEO is Mark Salvitelli. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Larry. Thanks for having me.
I don't have to tell you, this is what you do. Why don't you tell us, you deal with these commercial real estate properties, know a lot about it. And since COVID obviously shrunk a lot of the attendance, you know, we've had years now of people that are working remote, and a lot of cities, I would challenge almost all cities, are dealing with some level of this shrinking market. What is the status across the country first and then here in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Larry, what you've really seen is an acceleration of a trend that, you know, I think was already in place, to be honest with you. When you go back even before the pandemic, we already saw that most workplaces had some sort of teleworking in place. What the pandemic did, like I said, is just kind of accelerate that. And I think employers are recognizing that the 5-day a week in the office is likely a thing of the past. Now, that being said, I think what you're also seeing, though, is that employees are also recognizing that, you know, being remote, being isolated all day, every day, isn't exactly the most productive or the most collaborative environment. And I think what we've seen now is a lot of employees and employers coming together and finding this happy medium, generally about 3 days a week, sometimes a little bit more, like we've seen with Amazon recently bringing their workforce back. But generally speaking, companies are still using office space. What they're doing, though, is using it differently. And I think you're seeing that in a lot of cities, Pittsburgh included, although, you know, we're seeing it at different rates in different markets around the country.
Mark, you're saying that they're using the same space but using it differently. Is that affecting the cost per square foot?
It's not affecting the cost per square foot. What we're actually seeing right now, Larry, is that asking rents have now matched back up to where they were before the pandemic. What we are seeing, though, with that space being used differently is rather than it being, you know, what we all remember from the movie Office Space of cubicle after cubicle, what you're seeing now are a lot of collaborative spaces that are being put into place there so that when folks come in from their remote offices, they have an opportunity as a team to get together and have those conversations that produce the innovative thoughts that most companies rely on. So it's just changing how they use that space.
And it's on a lot of companies to try to find ways to lure employees, because right now a lot of the employees who are effective working remotely kind of have a little leverage because companies need good employees.
They do, and we've seen that, but I think you're also seeing that, you know, there's a little bit of leverage here with companies as well, too, in that, you know, in order to be as productive, I think, as that they're looking for their employees to be, having that collaboration is important. Now, in addition to that, I think what you're seeing, and you're seeing this a lot on the commercial real estate development side, is that the developers are really providing a lot more in terms of amenities. If there's one thing I think we all have seen, is that certain amenities, whether it be, you know, fitness centers, having daycare on site, proximity to transit, these are all things that really help bring people back into the office. And developers are seeing that. And a lot of what they're doing to their buildings reflects that as well, too, to help get those employees back in, because that's what the companies are demanding of the office space that they take.
We've been discussing commercial real estate, Mark, but I'm curious to know about the conversion into residential housing. Do you see that? Is that something that's an emerging trend that's we're going to see even more of, or is it leveling off? Well, what's the status?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, Larry. We're actually seeing that continue. And there's a couple of factors that get into that. You know, first, in Pittsburgh and in other areas around the country, there's a real housing crunch. So there's an opportunity here. You know, there are definitely some buildings, office buildings, that are obsolete, meaning, you know, they've run their natural life cycle. But it doesn't mean that they can't be used. And, you know, NAIOP and other groups, you know, we are working with governments. We've talked with the local government there in Allegheny County and in Pittsburgh, and we're working with Congress as well, too, to get legislation passed to help facilitate that development, because it is costly, but it can be done, and I think it represents a good opportunity for cities and developers to be able to come together to not only solve the problem of these vacant buildings, but also to solve the problem of the housing crunch that we see as well, too.
All right, next hour, Mark, I have the mayor of the city of Pittsburgh coming in studio. What question would you want to ask as a commercial real estate person?
Yeah, you know, I think the best question would be, how can we as a development industry work with you and your administration to continue to make downtown Pittsburgh and the surrounding communities to be as viable as we all remember them to be, so that we see people walking out and shopping and going to the restaurants, coming into the city, maybe making it a place to live, maybe making it a place they work, or a combination of both.
Mark, appreciate the time this morning. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
That's Mark Salvatelli, who is the CEO of Commercial Real Estate Trade Association, a nonprofit called NAIOP, of which there is a vibrant chapter here.
Sounds to me, Larry, like there's a lot of opportunity in downtown Pittsburgh, and it's just figuring out what to do with it best.
Absolutely, and we'll keep you posted, and we will ask the mayor about that and more in our next hour. 719 at News Radio KDKA. When the weather turns bad, make sure you turn KDK Radio on. We've got you covered with up-to-date news, weather, and traffic information in our KDK Radio Storm Center, brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. And every Tuesday at this time, we check in with another medical professional, brought to you by Independence Health System, Health for All. And today, Dr. Basil Asaye is an electrophysiologist from Independence Health System in the Westmoreland area. Doctor, welcome to KDKA Radio. Doc, good morning.
Good morning.
So,
thank you for having me.
Pardon me for not knowing what an electrophysiologist is. What exactly do you do?
Yeah, I know it's a mouthful, but basically it's we're heart specialists that are specialized in taking care of the arrhythmias of the heart, any abnormal heart rhythms.
And obviously heart issues are a major concern for people everywhere. So when you say, let's start with some basics. When you talk about people that are dealing with heart issues, it's not just heart attack. There's also issues that lead to stroke, correct?
Correct, yeah. So the heart muscle is more complicated than just a muscle. The heart attacks usually happen because of blockages in the arteries around the heart, while the heart muscle has a lot of electrical fibers in it or electrical wires. And these electrical wires, with age, they can go bad and lead to fast heart rates or slow heart rates. And this is basically what we work on as electrophysiologists. We joke with our patients sometimes that, when someone has a heart attack, they open the vessel. So they call these doctors the plumbers and they call us the electricians.
It's actually fascinating, but in a way it's very practical, and that is kind of what's going on. So you're about to perform your 500th Watchman procedure this week, and I understand the Watchman is an implant. Tell us more about it.
Correct. Yeah, that's we're very proud of this milestone at Independence Health System. It's a testament to the team. The Watchman implant is basically an alternative way to protect patients from stroke, specifically patients with abnormal rhythm that is very common, called atrial fibrillation. See, what happens in atrial fibrillation, the upper chamber of the heart start beating in a fast and chaotic manner. And in this upper chamber of the heart, there is a pouch called the appendage. And when this appendage is not squeezing the blood out efficiently, the blood can form a clot in there. And if this clot migrates from the heart or go to the brain, it can cause a stroke. So any patient with atrial fibrillation need a strategy for stroke prevention. Blood thinner is the most common historically known way to keep the blood thin and protect the patient from these clots from forming. However, as you know, just from the name of it, the blood thinners can cause a lot of problems similar to bleeding. We worry about patients who fall a lot. We worry about patients who have active lifestyles and they can, hurt themselves or operate on heavy machinery. So for a wide variety of reasons, we worry about the blood thinner. And in that case, we provide this Watchman that is an alternative method to protect the patient from stroke without the needing to keep the blood thin all the time.
And so when somebody, visits a physician, when would you, determine that they were a candidate for a Watchman?
Yeah, so first the patient has to have a rhythm called atrial fibrillation. And basically they have to have some kind of issue with taking the blood thinner. And this issue, as I told you, can be a range of things, including active bleeding or intermittent bleeding or intermittent disruption of this blood thinner. Any basically health scenario that make taking the blood thinner kind of increase the risk of it. The Watchman itself basically is a catheter from the groin, so there is no surgical cuts or incision. The device itself is loaded on the tip of a catheter. This catheter is very small. We go up to the upper chamber of the heart where the appendage is, and we deploy this device. This device kind of cover that area and provide a surface for the heart to create a layer of tissue over this device itself. So the heart itself will seal this problematic area called the appendage where the clots form. And that is, the recovery from it is pretty fast. Most patients go home within 24 hours.
Wow.
And basically, the only restriction is we say to our patient, no heavy lifting or strenuous activity, but most of them are up and moving around within 3 hours of the procedure.
That's absolutely mind-blowing, Doc.
Yeah, it's
One night, one goal, stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Join thousands as we journey over 16 miles from dusk till dawn for a night of healing and hope while raising much-needed funds and awareness for this important cause. Register today at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT, 888-843-6837.
Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And it was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fascinating. We're very excited about this therapy.
And final question for you, as a physician who deals with the heart, when would someone know that they're having an issue that would be something that they need to seek immediate medical attention for when it comes to the heart?
Yeah. So, you know, from the heart perspective, obviously chest pain is the main concern. Any chest pain needs immediate medical attention. From our specialty, regarding the heart arrhythmias, you know, that is the slow heart rates and the fast heart rates. The slow heart rates usually is lightheadedness, feeling fatigue, feeling unable to perform the daily activities that you are able to do, and passing out, which would be, very concerning. And then the fast heart rates usually is palpitations, heart racing, also feeling short of breath when you're doing activities, and occasionally chest pains. Having said that, atrial fibrillation a lot of times can be asymptomatic, and that's a good thing for the patient, but also there is a concerning part of it that, you know, sometimes that can lead to delayed diagnosis.
For more information, I invite you to reach out to Independence Health System electrophysiologist Dr. Saye, appreciate your time this morning and your expertise. Thanks for the great work.
Thank you for having me, and have a good day.
All right, brought to you by Independence Health System, expert care. It's the Big K Morning Show, Larry Richard, with our anchorman, Paul Rasmussen. Mentioned, feels like, Paul, 4 below 0.
Mm.
Now it's getting serious.
It's like a trip back home. Back in old Montana.
Yeah? You had really cold winters there, right?
Phew, no kidding. And with the wind that blew there constantly.
That adds to the challenge.
Well, it sure did yesterday. I got out of the car. It was nice and warm in the car, and it was sunny, but it was blowing. I got out of the car at the store, and it was like I had to move quick to get to the entrance.
Cuts right through you. And I mentioned the Pittsburgh Travel Show, the AAA Travel Show, is coming up at the end of the month here at the convention center. It's really a one-stop shop for people. It's fun to fantasize about getting away in the winter to someplace warm. And we're talking about a month from now. That's all. Pitchers and catchers report in Bradenton, Florida for spring training.
I don't want to wait a month. I want to report right now.
Well, we can take care of that. One of our partners is executive director of the Bradenton Convention and Visitors Bureau, Pittsburgher by birth and always in his heart, Elliot Felcioni. His sister city in Bradenton, you created that. Elliot, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Paul, it's 54 degrees down here. Feels like 46. But the high today will be 67 degrees.
Oh, man.
That's nice. And today is a very big day at the Sarasota Bradenton International Airport.
Yeah, we're real excited. Long time coming. We cut the ribbon for our new terminal that will host mainly Allegiant Airlines, Sun Country, Avelo, and Breeze. So we'll add 6 more gates to that airport. That's going to give us about an additional 10 to 12 nonstop flights. And some more coming in and out of Pittsburgh. Keep in mind, Larry, that when we hit March, Southwest Airlines is going to be flying Southwest nonstop from Pittsburgh to Sarasota Bradenton at least 5 days a week. And then Allegiant Airlines will supplement that 2 to 4 days a week. So we always want Pittsburghers to look at Sarasota Bradenton first, because you know it's only about 12 minutes away from Lee Calm Park.
And you're talking about a pretty big addition. What I'm seeing here on my web search is it's over 75,000 square feet. And the really good news is you're adding a four-lane security checkpoint for those gates.
Correct. And it's a second TSA checkpoint. So it'll spread out the influx of passengers going to the planes. Right now we have 13 gates, so add 6 more. And, you know, third year in a row, we're the fastest growing airport in the United States. And the exciting part is it's a $110 million project that is paid by cash. So we're not creating dead surface, and we're able to continue to give those airlines incentives that outpace our competition.
That said, Elliot, about how many Pittsburghers visit that area in Bradenton, Annamarie Island, Longboat Key every year?
Yeah, year-round, 40,000 Pittsburghers come to the Bradenton area for vacation, a little bit more condensed during the 6 weeks of spring training. You know, we're excited about the Pirates. Larry, you mentioned it. Mark your calendars. Sunday, February 23rd, a little bit earlier this year, the Pirates versus the Minnesota Twins at Lee Calm Park. So buy your tickets now. And who knows? Paul Skeens may be starting that game.
And I would imagine that a lot of people are asking, hey, how have you made out since the two hurricanes really did a number on many areas in Florida? But what I've seen firsthand, remarkable recovery efforts on the island and around Bradenton and Sarasota.
It's been a blessing. The governments, the small business owners have just worked really, really hard for a quick recovery. We are open for business. You know, what happened in Fort Myers after Ian, God bless them, they lost a lot of their beaches and bridges. Now they're on the rebound. We were blessed to still have beaches, still have bridges. Larry, as you know, a lot of the boutique shops have been reopened, the restaurants. So we're ready for Pittsburghers to come down. You know, we did see a little tail off in December, but it made a lot of sense coming out of the storm, almost like a V-shape drop. But now we're starting to see bookings be stronger, and we're expecting a really nice February, March. Before we get into Easter.
Elliot, how's the inventory of available hotel rooms right now in Sarasota, Bradenton?
We're running at about almost 70% occupancy on the mainland properties. It's skewed on the islands because there's still about 25% of first floor units that still are in construction. From the first storm, there was a little bit of flooding, but you still have 80% that's open for business. You know, you can only build on Annamarie Island 35 feet, so you have no higher than a three-story condominium, and that's the intrigue about Annamarie Island. I don't think you'll find another Annamarie Island in coastal Florida. It separates it from the norm, and as I've always said, it's Florida like it once was, you know, 40, 50 years ago with modern-day accommodations.
Well, we appreciate you investing in making Pittsburgh a sister city and keeping the word going down there. And one other thing before you go, because I know you have a giant pair of scissors in your car. I don't want you to get hurt for the ribbon cutting at the airport. The shows that you produce on Annamarie Island this past weekend, Bob Marley's Wailers outdoor show was the largest show you've done to date, right, in terms of people showing up on a chilly night. That was impressive.
It was. You know, the guys are great. It was such in demand. Remember, we had the Wailers on Annamarie Island 2 years ago, and everybody wanted them to come back. The guys were so polite. They said, well, we're happy to be here, but can we come back in the summertime next year, you know, where it's a little bit warm? But, you know, Mario Williams, a Pittsburgh native who goes to Middle Tennessee State, folks, look him up on Instagram. He was our opening act, a brilliant young talent, country artist, and he's getting a degree in songwriting from Middle Tennessee State. So look him up. But, Larry, I got to give you and Jimmy Crenn and Mark Eddy a shout-out. February 7th at the Manatee Performing Arts Center, 7:30 p.m., the Yinzer Comedy Night is coming to Bradenton. So go to the Manatee Performing Arts Theater to buy your tickets. And then the very next day, Robbie Krieger, the last living member of the Doors, in concert at the Center on Anna Maria Island, Saturday, February 8th. So it's going to be an exciting weekend of entertainment. Pittsburghers, come down and join us. I'll be at Pirate Fest Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So come say hello to me, and I'll tell you more about the city of Bradenton and Anna Maria Island.
Yeah, we're going to snag you and bring you into Pittsburgh just to give you a little frostbite.
He's going to actually bring some warmer weather with him.
Well, I was talking to Erin. She's going to have a scarf, glove, and a tassel hat ready for me, so I'll be all ready. But give me some of those hand warmers.
She's also going to give you a set of glasses with the funny nose and mustache.
I already got the funny nose, and I'll start growing the mustache now.
Yeah, by the way, the Doors is February 8th again on the island with Robbie Krieger and the comedy show. The Yinzer Comedy Night is that Friday the 7th, and then the Moody Blues, John Lodge, in March on the 24th, in the infamous String Dusters, Bluegrass. I guess this is one of the most excited, and people in the bluegrass world love these guys, April 5th, to wrap up this series. Well, congratulations on the airport expansion today, Elliot. We'll see you at Pirates Fest this weekend.
Great. Thank you, gentlemen. I really appreciate it. Stay warm and see you soon.
Elliot Falcione down in Bradenton. Boy, I'll tell you, I've been there so many times now, dating back 24 years.
Starting to feel like kind of a second home, right?
Yeah, and there's so many Pittsburghers. It's so fun when you're walking along down there, and someone goes, "Hey, Lair, where's Marty at?" Coming up right after the news at the top of this hour with Paul Rasmussen, Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey will join us in studio. Got a lot to talk to the mayor about as we push forward into this new year, which is hard to believe. Half the month of January will be over by tomorrow, Paul.
Feels like the middle of February, though.
It does.
Yeah, at least the sunrise is has a nice, strong, sunny sunrise today.
I see.
Take the edge off the cool.
It's what you call a lukewarm day. It's lukewarm, but it ain't from the inside out. But it is good to see the sun. And keep in mind, last January, we had the cloudiest January recorded in history, and it turned out to be a very sunny year overall. I mean, we had a lot more sun than we normally get summer and fall in particular.
Yesterday was a year of extremes. It really was, in so many different ways.
Absolutely. So we'll keep you posted. And with the mayor, if you have a question, you can instant access us, instant access at kdkradio.com.